All right, so we're talking about prayer, and I have Francis here from Kenya. And what are your thoughts? Why did you come to this station?
Well, my thoughts on prayer are, let's start by defining prayer first. So what is prayer? Prayer is a mode of communication or asking for something. What is your definition of prayer?
It's a way to commune with the higher power.
Okay. So, would you say you pray every single day?
Yes, more than once.
More than once? Like how many times a day?
Well, it depends on the day. And, you know, I don't pray unless I genuinely feel that I'm doing it for a pure reason. So I don't try to force myself and I don't try to schedule a time. But I find that by not doing that, I wind up praying more. So some days I may only pray, you know, 2, 3, 4 times. And other days I might pray as much as 25 times. It just depends on what's going on and what I'm dealing with and, you know, who I'm concerned for and, you know, just a lot of different dynamics in that equation.
Okay, so in this era of in our era with the one we live in, I don't know if you should call it the 22nd century or the 23rd, would you say that people are praying genuinely just to praise God, or they're praying every time they need something?
Well, I don't really, I can't really say anything about other people's prayer life. You know, I feel like prayer is a very personal thing, and it's between you and God, and, you know, your motivations are your own. At the end of the day, whatever you think is going to happen as a result of prayer is really a personal thing between you and whomever you're praying to. So I can't really comment on other people, but I can say that there's definitely a difference between my prayer life when I first came to know the truth as it has been defined to me, and, you know, 20 plus years later, where I stand today, there's definitely a difference in my prayer life, but it was really just a matter of coming to know the source, coming to understand him, coming to realize his love for me, and coming to worship him because I wanted to rather than I felt obligated to.
And would you say that prayers bear fruits, and if they do, how would you say that your prayers were answered?
I think that prayer always bears fruit to the person who genuinely believes, but I do think that the fruit is based on truth. So for instance, if I, you know, I don't really pray for things anymore on a superficial level. But if I were to take a step backward, say, and pray for something like that, well, you know, there's usually no fruition there. And that is a clear indicator of a superficial motivation. If I pray and I don't receive an answer, then that's generally a sign for me, hey, you need to step back and think about why you're praying for what you're praying for. Now, there is, a longevity that does occur in some of my prayers where they're answered over a span of time, so it doesn't always happen immediately. But during those times that there is that delay and there is that longevity that's present, there is also confirmation, left, right, up, down, center, wherever, that those prayers are being received and that work is being done. And, of course, at that point, you do have to take it on faith until the fruition occurs. But there is always confirmation. And so that really just it motivates me to continue. And when I do continue, there's always, always fruition. There's always, you know, fruit as a result of it.
Is there any instant you want to share with us that your prayer was answered?
I mean, there's hundreds of thousands. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
that one that you always like, if you want to encourage someone out there about prayer, there's that one instance you tell people about.
I mean, sure, there's plenty. I've got plenty of different ones that I use, but one that I've used recently that just comes to mind that I'm glad to share with you is that I in the past decade, I really just abruptly and acutely, or obtusely rather, changed direction in my career and just started doing something differently, where instead of relying on a weekly or biweekly paycheck, it was really just kind of a as the work comes to me. And for a while, that was quite frightening because I was used to the security of that, continuous income and, you know, being able to rely on that. And so as a result, yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah, continue.
Okay. And so as a result, there was, a time in my life where I kind of felt like I was in a free fall financially as I learned how to let my hand go of the security of that, that bi-monthly paycheck that would come, and my trust was in that, and then putting my trust in, you know, my God instead. And during that time of that struggle and really understanding where my provision was truly coming from, there was a time where the work was a bit scarce and I still had enough money to, you know, support myself, but I didn't have any money saved up. And it was very unsettling because I thought, well, what if something happens to my car, or what if I need some medical attention, or what if whatever, and I don't have any extra money. And so I was fretting a bit about it, but I had prayed and I just kind of had this idea that this woman that I had worked for several years taking care of her children. I had also done a little bit of cleaning for her while I was there helping out with her children. And I really helped her keep her house in order. And she had moved about an hour away from me, and her children are old enough now to not need care. But I just thought, you know, I bet her house needs some attention because she's not a good housekeeper and she's a single mom. And, you know, I'd love to help out and earn some extra money. And so I went to go and text her one night after I had prayed, because I was going to ask her that very thing, if she would need any help. But I heard, I heard from the Holy Spirit inside of me, and he said, don't go to her. She will come to you. And so I thought, and I thought, well, you know, it used to be, as I get older, I don't question as much. But when I was younger, I used to question, was that really God or was that me? I don't know. Am I making this up or did I really hear that? I would question myself a lot because I didn't have a lot of confidence or experience built up at that point. But I started to back out of the text that I was sending. And I thought, well, here's a good way to know if that was God or not. Let's see if it comes to pass. Because, see, I hadn't talked to her in about 6 months at that point. And so if she did contact me, then clearly we hadn't ever discussed me cleaning her house. We hadn't, you know, other than a couple of texts about the accomplishments of her daughter that she'd sent me about 6 months beforehand, I really hadn't had any communication with her. Okay, I'll wait. And I backed out of the text. I thought I'll give it at least a week or two and see what happens. And do you believe that the very next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I received a text from her not only offering me to go and clean her home, but also to offer me twice the amount of money that I would have asked her to do the same job.
Wow, that is an amazing testimony.
It's amazing when you really do understand the power of prayer and you let go of selfish motivation and you pray with the right intention. It's amazing the power that is provided. You know, it truly is incredible and very humbling, surely.
Yeah, because that your story takes me back on a subject I had just recently about the Lord's Prayer, because for quite some time in my life I have not been able to go and start praying and have that anointing that most people have, where you see someone praying for like 2-3 hours and you're like, hey, what are you telling God that I'm not telling God? Because you're praying for so long and I only last for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But it took me back to when I used to pray Our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And something interesting is that I wasn't going through a hard time then. I'd say I was in a place of comfort. I used to pray, I used to fast, and then when the storm kicked in, that's when God started answering the prayers that I was praying when I was in my comfort zone. And then it made me understand that however much we pray, how we pray, it doesn't matter. As long as we're praying and with the right intent and for the right purpose, God has a way of answering that prayer. Because you might think you're mumbling, but He's listening. He's listening to your mumble, because you're mumbling, you don't understand exactly how to ask for what you want, but He understands that after all that, you still found time and you understand that He has you covered, and He is willing to listen to you. So with that, I think we need to understand that, again, as you said, praying with the right intent, letting the Spirit tell you what you're supposed to do. Because at times we go into prayers and we expect a certain answer, instead of praying and letting God decide what to do and give us an answer. We go into prayer understanding that maybe I'm asking for a car, and I'm going like, I need a BMW, and I need it looking like this, I need it looking like this. But God understands that you don't need a BMW. He understands that, yes, you need a comfortable car that can fit your situation in that time. So we go with conditions, and then when the prayer is answered, we don't understand, we are not satisfied, because it wasn't answered the way we wanted it to be answered. But we are answered according to how God wants us to be in that situation, that phase of our life. Because again, life is a book, and that book has nothing written on it. So you get to decide what direction you want to go, and then God sets the tone and everything for you to accomplish what you want. Because again, everything worketh for the good of those who trust in Him. So if you trust Him, the book will be beautifully written and the story will be worth reading. But again, we go ahead and when we're praying for things the way we want them to work out, but not letting the Holy Spirit talk to us and guide us on how to do things. And that's why we think that our prayers are not answered, but actually they are answered, but we are not satisfied by the answer.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. Practically all of it, honestly. But you're right. There are a lot of expectations that people attach to prayer, and so I think that they find justification in turning their back on the truth as a result of that, because they think, well, this isn't working. Not realizing that it's because they're trying to, push their own agenda on love. And you can't expect truth to be the way to love. So basically you're saying that you want true love to be your God. You can't ask true love to be your God, but then impose your own will on the outcome.
Yeah.
You either trust in that love to be more knowledgeable on the essence of love than you are, because if you didn't need Him, you wouldn't appeal to Him in the first place. Or you try to achieve your own agenda. The process, you squeeze God out. And that was really what I was referring to when I said earlier that I did have to, find how to pray with true purpose and correct intention. Because, when I was younger, I was like everyone else. You're gripped with, the me and the I and the selfishness of pride and, the futility of life. And it really... it requires persistence in continuing on that journey and really peeling off those layers to understand, to allow yourself to experience who God is.
Yeah, actually, thank you so much for this topic. Thank you for joining me, Daisy. And
yes.
I wish you all the best. We are running out of time. Any words that you'd want to give out there?
Yes, well, Francis, it's been wonderful speaking with you as well. I hope to see you again.
Okay, thank you so much. Good day.
God bless.